100,000 deaths juxtaposed with a return to business as normal. Are we looking at a much-dreaded second wave in the near future? What kind of numbers will we be discussing another month from now? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. The United States has surpassed 100,000 deaths from COVID-19. Plans to reopen states continue despite cases reversing trend and on the rise in some areas, sparking fears of a second wave. What's happening, Ed?
Oh, we're not through the first wave yet. Remember, a lot of states weren't hit very hard by this. New York, California, and the gateway states were hit very hard immediately. Now the second wave is occurring, but it's really the first wave traveling through. We've had a little bit of that in Australia with some cases moving from New South Wales to Victoria. So it's like a trace through. It's now moving to the middle of the country. I think on both ends of the country, though, things are much calmer. And the second wave will not be as drastic as the first wave because most places, except for Alabama, can handle it.
So we're not going to be talking 200,000, 300,000, half a million deaths a few months down the line from now, are we?
I don't think so. I think now, given what I've heard about the capacity of most states and the knowledge that's there, I don't think so. But we may go well past 100,000, maybe to 120.
Trump and Republicans have dismissed the possibility of a second shutdown, even to contain a second wave. Now, I'm curious, at this stage, economically, it looks a little bit not just shutting the pen after the pig has bolted, it's insisting on keeping it shut. So just how bad would a second shutdown be for the already limping economy?
A disaster. I think all the countries that have reopened with some dangers they are facing. But if you don't reopen, you may be facing economic death. And that's what nobody really wants. So we're at this crossroads. You always have to take chances in life. And I think this is a chance that will have to be taken because we know how to manage the disease. Not the disease is less virulent than it was before, but our management policies and structures are much better.
And just on some of those management policies, it's stupid, but bear with me. This whole situation around mask wearing. Trump has mocked Biden this week for wearing a mask in public as political correctness. Now, Trump's refused to wear a mask. We've seen Mike Pence and other conservatives sort of make those same decisions. I don't want to get into this. I really don't. But it's been blown so far out of proportion. How and why has COVID-19 and COVID protection become a left versus right culture war issue?
I mean, I don't think it is. I don't really think it is. I think this is a war that reflects the state of conditions in certain places. Not all places are insisting on masks in the United States, as not all places in Australia, not all states in the U.S. insist on public transportation. But during certain points of the virus, and it's heavy, the insistence on the mask makes sense to protect the people who have the disease and can spread it. It's not that you'll catch it without the mask. So I think this is a tempest in the teapot. Trump has picked up on this, acting as though he's speaking for the majority. He is not.
And let's talk China. Firstly, taking them to task over COVID-19. I mean, we've already discussed this a couple of times, but with 100,000 American deaths now laying at the feet of COVID, look, any new developments on how they'll be investigated or what they could be answering for?
Well, I think several things are going on here. China's trying to play a little bit good cop. They're going to give $1 billion to the World Health Organization and participate in the vaccine development and release, hoping that, like Trump and everybody else, If you do a few good things, people forget the bad things. I don't think this is going to wash because China now has blood on its hands. My anticipation is there'll be three things that go on. One of them is there will be a strong push for an independent investigation outside of the World Health Organization, and China will be pushed up against the wall on that. The second thing is people are moving away from Chinese goods and products. Now, that's a good thing in some respects because the United States, Australia, and many countries are not producing the goods and the products they could have produced because they rely too much on China. And China's wage levels and the like means the differential is very slight, so more jobs will come home. The third thing is China will now become militarily more aggressive because it wants to protect the things it has, including the Belt and Road to Europe. So we'll see these things being played out. At least there'll be more interesting radio and television than the pandemic.
The U.S. has also threatened to take action over China proposing new security laws in Hong Kong. Firstly, the proposed law that would allow China to deploy relevant national security organs to Hong Kong, which Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has called a death knell for Hong Kong's autonomy. What's going on?
First of all, those surveillance people have already been there for a couple of years. China has a CIA, CCIA, the Chinese Central Intelligence Agency. Many of them schooled by, in the United States, by the way, at Quantico. So they've had that for a long time. The Chinese are superb at tapping phones, wiretaps, voice taps, and so forth. That has been going on for a long time. What we're seeing now is the slow death of democracy. And the real attempt will be an internal coup. That is, the Chinese will replace the people who are running for legislative office with their people. And if their people aren't the only ones on the platform, they'll make sure through the election they win, like a Russian win. Anybody who's not on Putin's ticket doesn't win. So this will be the death knell for Hong Kong. How will the Hong Kongese wear it? A lot of immigration to Australia, to the United States, to Canada, and elsewhere. And the Hong Kong money belt, which is so important to the Chinese economy, will have a hard time operating because people want to touch that Hong Kong money. This is going to be tough economically and politically on that small nation.
And back on Trump, Twitter has slapped a fact check on two of Trump's tweets regarding mail-in voting. Trump claimed that mail-in voting would be substantially fraudulent, to which Twitter attached a label saying, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots," which redirected users to news articles about Trump's unsubstantiated claims. Now, Twitter is Trump's favorite arena, and some would say this has been a long time coming. Any thoughts?
Great. Fantastic. You can hear it and see it and see the truth if you want to hear it and if you want to see it unveiled before you. This might affect 5 or 10% of the population, but, you know, if you read the Quran or the Bible, those are the missives that tell the truth, not some device that is human. So Trump is now a deity, and his voice comes from beyond.
It's just in response to this one, though, Trump has threatened to regulate or shut down social media companies entirely, claiming they silence conservative voices and that there will be big action to follow. Now, patent nonsense, again, from Trump, assuming he doesn't dismantle the system of Congress, the Senate, the First Amendment and all that. But there's that authoritarian streak again.
Don't assume. In 1920, people assumed in 1926, 27, 28, no one will close the Reichstag. Don't assume.
No, I'm not really jumping to any conclusions on this this particular administration. Looking overseas and a couple more nations struggling with COVID-19, Brazil, now the second worst hit nation in the world behind the US. COVID was completely downplayed by President Jair Bolsonaro, the Trump of the tropics, who called coronavirus a little flu. Some are now saying he could be the first world leader to be toppled by the pandemic. Thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, world leader, how many Brazilian leaders have we had since we started this show? I don't know if my alphabet goes that high. And a number of them are in jail. Whether he goes to jail or not, I'm not certain. But the Brazilian political system and economic system are really at a tender spot. Brazil was exporting aircraft, sugar, coal, all kinds of products. It was becoming, at the time of the last Olympics, a real competitor in the world economy. This is a huge step backward. And I don't think the disease can be contained because the way people live in Brazil, in the favelas, that is the ghettos, is so close and highly densely packed with voodoo medicine people there. This disease is going to have to burn itself out the way it did in Spain. There may be millions that die.
And third worst hit, Russia, where cases are also going up as other nations reopen. This week we've seen more on the strain on their healthcare system and more threats against medical professionals complaining not just about the system, but also monetary bonuses that were promised by Putin and have not been delivered. Putin has enjoyed enormous popularity and power for years now, but we know waiting for him to ever be forced out of power are considerable threats against him. Would COVID ever be enough to oust Putin as well?
I don't think COVID will, but I think the economic sanctions are biting heavier and heavier into the little guy. The upper middle classes are feeling it, surely, but the little guys are really feeling it, and COVID makes that even worse. So they're in a very fragile state economically. And as the world oil prices continue to go down with very little sense of recovery, Russia's ability in its pumping of natural gas and oil to the rest of the world diminishes. So Russia cannot recover. The fact that its people are not doing well and an economy is becoming weaker, the next thing is the military doesn't get paid. And therein lies the biggest danger for Mr. Putin.
And Palestine. President Mahmoud Abbas said last week he would be cutting all ties with Israel and the US in a desperate attempt to block what appears to be another permanent land grab from Israel. Look, it may well be a bluff, not for the first time, but Ed, what's happening?
Palestine's in the worst place it's been in a very long time, I think since its creation. It can't trust either side. The United States can't be trusted. Israel can't be trusted. Israel's election depend on how badly you treat the Palestinians. The Americans in this current administration believe that if they snuggle up to the Israelis, there'll be economic opportunities for individual companies and it won't harm anyone else. This is a very difficult problem. Hopefully, Mr. Netanyahu will be enjoying the rest of his natural life in a place that doesn't have very much sunlight, called an Israeli prison.
And just a couple of weeks ago, literally 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Ahmaud Arbery case, the killing of a young black man in Georgia. And you said, as we well know, this kind of thing happens all the time. Well, it's happened again with video emerging of a white police officer in Minneapolis kneeling on the neck of a black man by the name of George Floyd as he was restrained by several other officers. Floyd told officers he could not breathe and later died en route to hospital. The four cops involved have been terminated, which Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says was the right decision. Look, anything else to say on this one, Ed?
Well, those four cops will be facing, the first one that has his knee on the guy's neck, will be facing a murder charge. This excessive force is not condoned by law or the Constitution. So just like Georgia, things are going up. The penalties in Georgia, even though the governor and other people don't want anything to happen really good for black folks, they're now put in the position that they have to. In the Minneapolis case, this guy has a lot of white support because he worked well across the communities. People know him and like him. He wasn't just any ordinary black man. But as President Obama told me once, hey, if you ain't got this little pin on your lapel, you're an ordinary black man. Take it easy, Ed.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in U.S. news and politics. Maybe we'll even have some good news. Who knows? Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Maybe drop us a review if you're feeling generous. And you can check us out, show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.